good to do that because most of you know that I've been dealing with a little bit of swelling issue. And so they did a procedure. I'm always having these procedures. I'm going to tell you, if you ever, you don't want to ever get sick. Because it just gives doctors a reason to stop poking in places they shouldn't be poking.
Yeah.
That's all it is. So I had this procedure where they did this procedure on my heart and everything. And so they told me, they said, well, you got this fluid in your heart. See, your heart is strong, but you got this fluid in your heart. So now they started to really say, we don't think you have congestive heart failure. We can't figure out what's going on with your body, really, what's going on. So they say, we're going to drain the heart. I said, okay. And so, okay, cool. I'm like, how bad can that be? You know, so we get there, and I said, well, so this is what's going to happen. We're going to take you for this CAT scan, and it's going to show us the image of your heart and where the fluid's all at, and we're going to take this needle down in your chest. Okay, so I'm thinking, you're going to put me under. No, we're just going to sedate you. You're not going to be under. You're going to be awake the whole time while we do this. I'm like, oh, yeah, God, no, that just sounds fun, you know. And so they take this little thing, they get me set up, and you're in the most uncomfortable position. So they take your hands and they lock them up over you like this, and they scrabble. You can't move. You're just like locked, and you're like there for like about an hour. And it's like he said, okay, don't move. I'm like, this is uncomfortable. It's painful. I'm laying flat. You know, he got me in this machine. I'm almost claustrophobic. I'm like, how you get the needle in me? So they pull me out a little bit. They put the old blue thing over your face and say, okay, you're gonna feel a little stick, and it's gonna be okay. So I feel a little stick. I'm like, okay, then you go down. And you just—it's just this uncomfortable feeling, but you know something's happening around your heart, and they're just draining fluid on you while you're totally awake. And if you get a little uncomfortable, squirm, she say, "Okay, I'm gonna give you a little bit more sedation, but it's not enough to put you to sleep. You're awake the whole time. You're feeling what's going on." And I'm like, "Wow, goodness, man!" Then the sleep didn't come to after they got done with the process. It was too late. I'm like, "Oh man, it was brutal." But because of that procedure I had. Man, it took off weight. I felt good. I went in the backyard cutting trees with that old chainsaw. Got a little lawnmower. Like, man, I feel great, you know. But so, you know, just, and I say that because I'm talking about today, there's a time for everything. Ecclesiastes, there's a time for, you know, I don't know if you want to have that time in your life, but there's a time for everything. But it just made me feel so much better, so much able to do so many things. And, you know, there's a lot of things we want to do in life, a lot of things we want to accomplish. But it's hard to accomplish those things when you're dealing with some type of illness, whether it's physically, spiritually, emotional illness, whatever it is, it's just hard to really face those challenges when you're dealing with stuff. But when God provides men with a way to help alleviate some of the pain and stuff, you're like, okay, this works. Going through it is something else. Getting to the other side of me, you're like, okay, we're there. We're there, you know, everything. So we're going to be in Ecclesiastes today. First, I'm there, and we're very familiar with the scripture. I was talking to Richard, and I was talking about, I said, man, 2019 has been a year it's coming into. I think we all have a year where we're going through something. And it's like, man, this year has just been rough starting out, you know. For me, of course, started out with the sickness. I actually started swelling back in 2018 of October. Got pneumonia, you guys know, got pneumonia from January. Got sick, came home, then just blew up, just swole up full of fluid, figured it out, then got shot between the toes, that's still worse than the heart thing.
Really?
Man, they stick a needle between your toes. Oh, my God. That is worse than the heart thing. The heart thing ain't that good, but that was painful. Never forget that. And then, of course, my wife came back from a great beach trip and just had a massive stroke, man. That was just devastating. She's doing well, getting better. It's just taking time. It's a process. You know, you look, you realize this is a process we're going to go through, you know. So, but Sharice still has a lot of her old ways, some old ways, like, I'm like, no, we're going to get this. You need this. You know, I'm buying this stuff. Help with her cognitive skills. She's like, no, it's too much. I'm like, we're getting this. And so, but the year has been trying. I'm like, man, it's been a trying year. But at the same time, God has been good. God has been good with you guys, coming by to see her, praying, family, sending money. God has been good. God's been good. You know, when you face a little adversity, you can really start to be doubtful and really start to think down and just start to think the worst. But a lot of times you never stop to take time just to look and see all the good that God is doing in the midst of a storm.
Amen.
And you realize there's a time for everything. And I look at this time in kind of my life, and I don't know if you're going through some things like business things, but God is always preparing you for the next great adventure. That's the one thing I see in this. I'm like, You know, we're going through a lot. There's a reason why we're going through this. You know, some people say a spiritual battle. I say, amen, it is a spiritual battle. If the devil can take you out or derail you or get you off track, amen, he will take anything he can use. But also, it's just about life itself. Sometimes God wants to refine your character. Sometimes God allows you just to go through things just to see who you really are. And just time and test it. And I love, you know, Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes. Just, it's like a man like, who's been through a lot in life, and he's like, let me just tell you about life. This is what life is all about. I thought it was about money. It ain't about that. I thought life was about looking fine and looking good, being vain. It ain't about that. I thought life was about having all this material, having all these friends. It ain't about that. He said, matter of fact, he said, life is exhausting. That's what he said. He's like, it's just very exhausting when you get to that side. And it's true. As you get a little older and you mature, you start thinking like, man, you know, this is really not all that. It's not that serious. You really begin to realize the things that God tries to point out and tell us. And over in Ecclesiastes 3, I love he writes about there's a time for everything. We just don't show up in places, and there's a reason why we are in places, and God is making clear at that time why you're there. And over in Ecclesiastes 3, 1, it says, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. He says, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down, a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to mend. He says a time to be silent, and a time to speak, and a time to love, and a time to hate, and a time for war, and a time for peace. Man, what do workers gain from their toil? I want to stop right there. He just goes and says, there's just a time to do so many things. But he says, really, what do you gain from all your toil? You know, when we get involved with projects, we got goals we set. We're like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get this. I'm going to make this happen. And we're just goal-oriented. But at the end of your goal or at the end of your labor, your toil, he says, what have you really gained from it? You know, some people are like, well, I've accomplished this and that's great. Okay, but that only keeps you high but so long. Then you're like, what's the next great thing? You know what I'm saying? What's the next thing I want to do? We're always trying to achieve the next thing. The thing for us here is that in our lives, there's a time for everything that's going on. Sometimes we get stuck in certain places. We think that this is it. This is what life's going to be. This is the end of all. We just get stuck. And we think there's no more to it. There's no more to doing anything. That's what we think. But God says there's a time for everything. There's a time for rest. My wife has been doing that a lot lately. I've been doing that a lot with her. I go home sometime, be exhausted, get home, do some things around the house. I get in the recliner next to her, and I'm out. No time for rest. Rest is good, I can tell you. For somebody who likes to go. I don't know if you like that, but I've always felt like, if we got to get to the next thing, you know. But God said, you know what, there's a time to rest. The body needs to rest. You know, you're not young as you used to be, you know. Although my mind tells me I'm still 20, but my body says otherwise. The thing I want to understand about here is, do you believe there's a time for everything in your life? Do you believe that? Do you believe there's a time for you to be active? A time for you to be busy? Do you believe there's a time for you to be out there engaged in other people's lives? Do you believe there's a time for you to be in one city or in the next city? Do you believe there's a time for you to do a lot of things? But do you understand what the toil is for? I don't know if people have ever worked, you know, when you're a little younger, you know, you came out in the world and you work kind of jobs. I work construction, you know, I don't know if a lot of people work construction. I worked construction when I was younger. Did some manual labor jobs, you know, you feel like you can do a lot of things. You can stand the heat a lot, you know. I don't know, you get middle age, you feel like it's too hot outside. I don't know, but your body go through a transition. I can actually go out to 100 degrees and stand in the sun for an hour. It's so good to me. AC just I feel like I'm freezing at times and stuff. But I think about this, the different transition my body has gone through over the lifetime. Well, when I was younger, love construction, but it would be hot. Love the AC. Now that I'm older, I love the heat. No longer complain about old folks when you go to their house, why they getting heat so hot in here. But I love the heat and everything, you know. But what about you? What about you? What is happening in your life? What is it time for in your life? Do you feel like you're stuck? Do you feel like you're like, there's something else that I need to do? Are you afraid to go to the next step? Are you afraid to step into that next season of your life? What about you? Are you ready for the next season in your life? Or are you just holding back? What is all your toil for? What is all your labor for? Does your labor have meaning? Does your labor have purpose? Is there a benefit to it all in the end? What are you toiling for? I love Solomon here. Solomon is great and mighty in all his wisdom, but he found out that even all his wisdom, all his money, everything that he had, he found out, guess what? That it was all meaningless. And he began to question, man, what's next? What's next? That's what he began to question. What's next? Picking up at verse 10, he says, I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in his time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet not one can fathom what God has done from beginning to the end. Let's stop right there. Wow. And there's he says, God has set eternity in your heart. Yet you cannot even fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. Now let's take a pause. I mean, can you fathom? Life goes by fast. There's things I don't even remember, man, from certain ages. Maybe certain scars I remember because I got bruising when I got this bruise from, you know, I don't play or whatever, you know, but it's just things like, man, from beginning to the end, I can barely remember what happened yesterday. You know, there's a lot going on, you know. But he says, man, God has put eternity in your heart. God has put this vibe in your heart, your very spirit, that craves, that you crave, that I want to live forever. I want to know what it's like to live forever, to live beyond going from season to season to season, craving the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, but instead, eternity, where it never ends. It never ends. He says there's a time for everything. The reason why God points that out is because we're always into something. Always into the next thing. But when he gives you eternity, eternity, guess what? Never ends. Eternity is not, okay, I crave eternity, and then I crave, well, what's out there, eternity? It's not that. He said, no. Eternity is forever. It never ends. And in eternity, you're with God. That's the great thing about it. You're with a loving God who loves you so much, who wants you to be there. What else would you want to crave in life than rather be in eternity with God? We crave a lot of things. But guess what? There's no better thing to crave or to have an appetite or desire for is to be with God in eternity. He says in verse 12, I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. He says that each of them may eat, drink, and find satisfaction in all their toils. He says, this is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. A gift from God is the toil. Who really loves to do a lot of work? Who really loves work? Who loves vacation? I love vacation. Would you rather be on vacation all the time or working all the time? Vacation, huh? God said, it's a gift and you toil. That's a gift we all would like to question, wouldn't we? God just had one question. Why this gift? Why can we have a gift where I can, like, you know, call my own hours, do my own time? Why do I have to work? Why can't you just give everything to me? You know, a lot of people like a gift of toiling. But what does toiling do for us? Makes us responsible. Builds character in us. That's what it does. Makes us reliable people. Gives us a sense of purpose. That's what it does. That's what toiling does. You see, God knows that we need things to keep us busy, And God knows that we need just skills and access and education. God knows that we need certain things to keep us focused in life. Not things that only satisfy us, but things to do that will, guess what, will help to serve other people. Sometimes it's hard serving other people. Sometimes it's hard being a giver to other people. But God has created us to be givers, great servers, and God has created us to be always ever busy and working, doing something meaningful in life. I love it. It says, I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. See, God does it. God does it so that people will fear him. I love it. It says, I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added and nothing can be taken from it. That's the myth that's in the heart, man, and soul of God. That anything God does for us can never be taken.
Yep.
Sometimes we think that man is bigger than God, but God is bigger than all of us. Mm-hmm. I was thinking the other day, you know, as you go through a lot, you know, in life, I think, you know, I was holding my grandson actually at 4 a.m. this morning. He went, you know, we got him for the weekend, so watching my wife, watching my grandson. And he wakes up in the middle of the bed and he wants to talk at 4 a.m. this morning. I'm like, yeah, okay. All right, we'll talk at 4 a.m. So let's go fix you a bottle, dude. Let your nana sleep. Let's go fix you a bottle. So we walk around there and he's up. He's looking at me and fixing my bottle. He drinks about the whole bottle. And because he, you know, he wants to talk in the morning. I'm like, well, what are we talking about? What's that to talk about now in the morning? You know, I look at him and think, wow, the creator who created this, you little man, you know what I'm saying? It just, to me, you begin to look at things more from God's perspective.
Yeah.
And you begin like, wow, he formed this little guy. And this little guy's looking at me like, But you begin to have a sense of appreciation that everything God does is good. Begin to appreciate it. You begin to value it. You look at it no longer from a human point of a position, but from God's position. Wow, he created this. He gave this life. And I'm privileged to be sitting here at 4 something in the morning holding you in a bottle, and we just talking and you go whatever, and you fall asleep, mess with stuff. And, you know, I think we need to take time to appreciate God. Really take time to appreciate God. I think we don't. I think we just kind of go about life. Life is busy. Life is going on. I got kids. I got nephews. I got 2 jobs. Got 3 to 1 job. Well, this 1 job is just hard enough on me, Lord, you know. You just feel like you go, go, go. And we never really appreciate the good things that God does for us. We just don't appreciate it. But I think if we would take time to slow down and appreciate it, we'd be grateful. Like I said, Saturday morning, I got up, got the lawnmower, got up, got outside in my backyard going, and my second oldest son, he came over, he's coming to see his son, I was in the backyard trying to break this branch that fell down during the storm. I'm like, okay, so I got a rope, and I got a maneuver, and I got both of my boys out there. I was like, okay, guys, let me get this thing down. So we're cutting in it, and this is why you just got to think it through, but I got the chainsaw stuck in the branch. I don't know, don't ask me how it is. I just cutting it, and the branch wedged the chainsaw. I was like, what is going on? So now the chainsaw sticking in it. I'm like, oh. So we had that for days, days, just trying to get it out. But it was great to have my boys in the backyard with me working, you know, helping me to do stuff. And so eventually I had to go get us a regular handsaw. And so it gets even crazier. So I said, okay, I'm going to cut a little lower. The branch is kind of hanging from the tree stuck. So if I cut it, and the rope's got pulled this way, it should fall to the side. So I get down, I cut it. And I hear it cracking. I say, okay. And I move back. That limb falls off, and the branch just digs in the ground more straight up. The chainsaw's still stuck in the branch. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is not happening like this. Come on. So I'm like, I'm going to have to sit for a little bit, come back outside, and say, okay, I'm going to cut a few more branches. And I cut it one more time. The chainsaw comes off, but the branch still digs in the ground. Still, I'm like, and it's still in the tree. I'm like, I said, I'm done by that time. So by that time, I'm thinking, I'm like, Lord, this thing has got to fall. So I finally get the rope, position it, and I was able to pull the branch down. But I thought this whole time, what I was grateful for about God is good and everything, my boys came over. God provided me with the necessary tools I had. He was very patient with me because I was like, Lord, I'm wore out. I'm just, you know, it's nice, but I'm wore out.
Yeah.
But we was very patient with me. I think about God provides every good thing that we need.
Yes, it's true.
Exactly what we need. A lot of times we don't think that we need it, but it's every good thing that we need. And we need to take time just to enjoy that. I enjoyed yesterday. Yeah, it was a little work and labor and everything. And I toiled a little bit on that branch, but it was just great. I just enjoyed the day. My wife sat in the house on a recliner. My daughter was in there with the grandson. And me and my boys, I enjoyed that day. Mm-hmm. Cut the grass, did a little something.
Mm-hmm.
We really need to appreciate every good thing that God gives us. Mm-hmm. Guys, finally, in closing, jump down to verse 18. It says, also said to myself, as for humans, gods, test them so that they may see they are like the animals. Surely the fate of human beings is like that of the animals. The same fate awaits them both. As one dies, so dies the others. All have the same breath. Humans have no advantage over animals. Everything is meaningless. All go to the same place. All come from dust, and to dust all return. Who knows if the human spirit rises upward, and if the spirit of the animals go down to the earth. So I saw that there is nothing better for a person than to enjoy their work, because that is their lot. For who can bring them to see what will happen after them? Solomon had a lot to say here. Solomon had a lot going on.
Yep.
Solomon said, I want to remind you something about you. We are, of course, at the top of the evolution food chain. He said, you and animals, he says, we all pass away.
Yeah.
He says, you know, we think we're better than everything because it's pretty easy, but we all pass away. He said, our flesh all go to the same place, back to the dead. Now, during Solomon time, Solomon said, hey, I'm just not sure where the spirit goes. But God has made it clear to us through Jesus Christ, our spirit does rise to be with God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we've got to understand. But we also got to understand that we're just like everything else in this world.
Mm-hmm.
We have our time. We do have our time. God has put inside of you a desire and a craving for eternity. You can choose to ignore it or acknowledge it and get right with God. If you choose to ignore it and love this world, then you will receive your treasure in full. But we want to be men and women after God's own heart. We want to learn from people like Solomon, who says, hey, although God has given us work to do and it's great, do not let that be your end focus. Do not let that be what you build your life on, that this everything means. But instead, these things are just seasons. These things just have moments in time in my life. But eternity is where I desire, because God put it in me, and I want to be there with God. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you guys so much.